Today we've had some family things take place. We've welcomed new members into our family. What is it, Alfred talked about our identity. What is our identity as a church? What is our identity as a people of God? What does it mean to be family? What does it mean to really promote the atmosphere in a home? What makes a home? And I want to talk about our identity as a people of God. Family is of utmost importance. It really has to do with who we are and our identity. People get lost when they lose track of their family. But knowing what our family is, and that Jesus said, that God said, I will give them joy in my house of prayer. For my house of prayer, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. He said, I will give them joy. When we think of why maybe we got married when we were younger, or what our desire is for our family growing up and for our children, often you hear of a happy home. But when you think, those times that are precious for us, each one of us as families, are when there's joy in the house. When there's just good old-fashioned laughter and joy in the house. And God said in Isaiah 56, He gave His ultimate vision for the church. He said, and foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve Him, to love the name of the Lord, to worship Him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. That's something that's really been impressed upon me recently. He says, I will give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Give them joy in my house of prayer. I will give them joy in my house of prayer. And that joy is a defining characteristic. It's a characteristic of a family, of a home, of a house, that there be joy in the house. My dad, growing up, he would say, no one has a right to upset the peace of the home. But, you know, what is the atmosphere of our home? And what is the atmosphere that God wants us as a people, wants for us as a people of God? That there be joy in my house of prayer. So let's turn to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2 in the Word of God. Jesus reaffirmed this in Mark 11:17. If you remember the story, he was rooting out the money changers and all the smelly animals that were in the temple. And, you know, he said, is it not written, my house would be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers? If you think of it from Jesus' standpoint, think of it maybe from a pastor's standpoint. I mean, I can identify with this. You know, what if I came in here, you know, and the place was, you know, full of smelly animals and stuff like this. All right, and, you know, here we want to, you know, we're inviting the nations. And we want to we're inviting people from different nations to come, and all of a sudden the place is full of smelly animals. All right, do you think they're going to want to come in here? You know, they're going to turn around and leave. All right, it smells, and they're not going to be attracted to that place. But people are attracted by a place of joy. I will give them joy in my house of prayer. Jesus wanted, He desired the temple area. He desired that place that was supposed to be, you know, used for worshiping God. He desired that place to be a place where everybody could come to, and that there would be a godly attraction there, that they would want to be there to worship God. To worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 2. You're probably already there. And I want to read this at the same time while we're looking at the mural up here. And for those of you that are here visiting today, this mural really represents our vision as a church. We believe that God's ultimate vision is for all nations to stream up the mountain to worship Christ as one. So you see the various nations that are coming together to worship Christ as one. We believe that that is on God's heart. In Isaiah 2, verse 2, it says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. I know I can really identify with that, you know, as a parent. Settling disputes among my children. Any parent of multiple children can identify with that. Well, God, the righteous judge in all his wisdom, he's going to settle disputes among the nations so that there's peace. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The mountain of the Lord says all nations will stream to it. All right, nations streaming up the mountain. That goes against the grain. We know from an ecological standpoint that nations stream down. I love the fact that I live near Great Seneca Creek, and I have this idea one day. I've actually jogged along Great Seneca Creek in the trail all the way to the Potomac River. I did that one day, all right? That was a goal of mine one summer. And I know that the Potomac River goes to the Chesapeake Bay, and I know that the Chesapeake Bay goes to the Atlantic Ocean. And so, you know, the streams, the rivers are going downhill until they come to the ocean, all right? But here it says all nations will stream to that mountain, streaming up the mountain, and that's going against the grain. It also goes against the grain as expressed in verse 4. It says that God will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. It goes against the grain for people to come together and be able to walk in peace. It goes against the grain for people from different nations and different backgrounds to come together and be able to walk in peace. How many of you have seen the recent documentary about the Hatfields and McCoys? All right, the Hatfields and McCoys on different sides of the river in Kentucky and West Virginia. And one was a fighter for the North in the Civil War, and the others were with the South, and different things that went on, the feuds and the battles back and forth between the Hatfields and McCoys. And it goes against the grain for people to walk together in peace, to walk together in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. And how can we walk that way? Because God, the righteous judge, settles disputes in His wisdom, in His righteousness. And the result is true peace. What does that mean for us? One of the pillars that we have at Northgate Community Church, and it's not original with us, obviously it's all from the Word of God, is to walk in the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And so with all of our differences, the world will know us by our love for one another. When they come and they see different people groups coming together, and they see that there's love there, that there's unity there, that there's true peace, they take notice. And Jesus said that the world would know us by our love for one another. And so it's a testimony to the world when they come and they see us and from every different background, and they see us walking together in a way that's pleasing to Him. I'd like us to turn a few chapters over to Isaiah chapter 11. And this really is a beautiful description of God's righteousness and peace, and what that brings to a family, what that brings to a nation, what that brings to a body of believers such as we are. It says in Isaiah 11:1, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. And then look at this description. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leper will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. And the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. What a picture of rest. What a picture of security. The infant playing with the snake. What a picture of just total trust in the Lord. That's the kind of peace that the Lord wants to bring to our lives as we learn to walk together in the kingdom of God. Let's turn over to Micah chapter 4. Very similar passage. Micah 4 verse 1. I want you to see that this is not an obscure thing. That God desires this, that all nations will come together to worship Christ as one. It's on His heart. It communicates a testimony to the world when they see that we can walk together and they see our love for one another. In Micah 4 verse 1 it says, in the last days the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised over the hills, and peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, so that we may walk in His paths. So we've got to learn things like making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We've got to learn what it means to walk together in ways that are pleasing to Him. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Every man will sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree. You know, I kind of think of someone, you know, just sitting out on his porch with his iced tea, you know, under some kind of umbrella. What a picture of rest and peace and joy. Every man will sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid. For the Lord Almighty has spoken. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods. We will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and ever. Again, the man sitting underneath his vine, sitting underneath the fig tree. There's no fear. Great security. It's not a dog-eat-dog world perspective, you know, where I've got to just make my way and I've got to make my living and only the strong survive. Survival of the fittest. God wants us to come to that place of rest and peace and security in Him. Not walking in fear. This kind of peace can only be accomplished through Christ our Savior. In 1 John 4:16, it says, and so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world we are like Him. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. What do you fear? Do you fear a person? Do you fear perhaps not being able to make a living? Perhaps not being able to make ends meet? What is the fear that you're walking in? God wants this kind of life for you, where there is no fear. Perfect love drives out fear. Where you know that your security is in Christ. Your rest is in Christ. Your peace is in Christ. Your joy is in Christ. And you come to that place where you don't have to fear. Perfect love drives out fear. In verse 5, Micah 4 says, we will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and ever. Together, we are walking in the name of the Lord. What does it mean to walk together in the name of our Lord? even with our differences, as we submit our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, as we come under His Lordship, we have true peace and security among one another. We're not walking in fear. When walking under God's Lordship, in every area of life, there needs to be no fear. We're under God's umbrella. We're under God's protection. We're under God's security. And being a house of prayer for all nations, this is what it is. We're a family. We're a functional family. And we're marked by joy. You know, you think of different families. There's the terms functional family and dysfunctional family. And what's the difference between a functional family and a dysfunctional family? Well, all families have their issues. We will have our issues. We have our issues. But a functional family works those issues out. A dysfunctional family says, I'm out of here, I'm bolting, I'm leaving. I don't want to talk about this anymore. This is too hot in here. I'm gone. That's a dysfunctional family. A functional family will have its issues as well. But a functional family works it out. But you know, God wants us to go one step further. He doesn't want us to just be a functional family. He wants us to be a family marked by joy. Because God said, I will give them joy in my house of prayer. I will give them joy in my house of prayer. We don't want to be a family that's just surviving. We want to be a family that's thriving. That there's joy, that there's abundance. Alfred shared in his Lord's table that Jesus said, I've come that they would have life. And that they would have life more abundantly, where there's rivers of living water and words of blessing. Again, what is our desire as parents? For our family, for our home, for our children. All right, that there be joy in the house. That there be joy in the home. That there be joy in the family. So what does it mean to walk together in the name of the Lord? Let's turn to the New Testament. I want you to see that this is both an Old Testament and a New Testament vision. Let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, toward the end of the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2. Starting at verse 1. And this was alluded to this morning as well. Vance kind of covered everything in his call to worship this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. It says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice. In order to be a family of God, we got to get the hatred out, right? Rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. In the family of God, we're all growing. None of us are stunted in our growth. We're all feeding on the Word of God. We're growing together in a common understanding of the Word of God. And our flock groups, we've kind of put a model out there, an example out there, that we open up the Word of God. And yes, the flock group leader might have a couple themes that he's going to bring out. All right, but it's not like the man is a theological man that's coming through and going to teach everybody exactly what is what regarding that passage. But we open up the Word of God and we learn from the Word of God together. We grow in a common understanding of the Word of God. Verse 4, it says, as you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him. That living stone is Christ the stone. It's a living stone. And it's a stone that's alive. When you think of a stone, you think, well, it's just a stone that's there. But it's a living stone. And Christ is that stone. And Christ is alive, and He's alive in our midst today. Alfred again, you know, he talked about, you know, Jesus said, I came that you would have life and have it more abundantly. In John 1:4, it says, in Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men. That light, the word there is a word, it's a word that's called Zoe. Zoe life. All right, there's that physical life, that eternal life, that abundant life. There's that life that really makes a difference in our lives. Again, not just to be a surviving family, but a thriving family. To be a life-giving family. Jesus said in John 4:14, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of living water, welling up to eternal life. There's a sense of gushing waters. Waters bubbling up. Not stagnant water, but living water. He said in John 7:37, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. So again, there's those streams. As nations, we're streaming up the mountain to worship the Lord as one. But from each one of us, there are streams of living water that not are going in us so much, but out of us. Anyone who believes in me, streams of living water will flow from out of him. In verse 5, 1 Peter 2:5, it says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Christ is a living stone, capital S. Okay? Capital S. Christ is a living stone. We are living stones, lowercase s. And so we're following his example. He's the capital S stone. We're the lowercase s. But we're following his example. He's the main one. We're following his example. He's Christ. We're Christ ones. He's Christ. We're Christians. He's Christ. We're disciples of Christ. He's the chief cornerstone. We're following him. We're being built together as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. And so being a house of prayer for all nations, we're being built together to be a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. We are believer priests. What does that mean that you are a priest? That you as a Christian, you as a disciple of Christ, are a priest. I know a lot of us don't think of ourselves as a priest. We have this preconceived notion of what it means to be a priest. Someone who does the sacraments, or someone that, you know, sits at confession, or someone that stands in front of the people all the time. But what does it mean that you are a priest? You are a believer priest. This relates to our being a house of prayer for all nations. In Revelation 5:9 it says, with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. God has purchased you by His blood. Have you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you come to accept Him as your Lord and Savior? Then you have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And He hasn't just made you to kind of, you know, I'm a Christian, I try to do what's good. But He has made you to be a priest for God, to serve the living God. That's what He's made you to be. Everyone say, I am a priest to serve the living God. Peoples have come from every nation to be a kingdom of priests serving God. A house of prayer for all nations. It's a house of prayer. It's a house of prayer. We're about prayer. Prayer is communicating with God. It has everything to do with communicating with God. Priests communicate with God. But when Jesus went to the cross, and He died on that cross, and He rose from the dead, the Bible tells us that the veil, the curtain that separated everyone else from the Holy of Holies was broken in two. And so at that point, spiritually speaking, we all can come together. We can all come before the very presence of God and commune with God and communicate with God and be in His presence and be the believer priest that we have been called to be. We're built together into a spiritual house. And there's a purpose for that spiritual house. There's a sense that, okay, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Alright, so we need to honor God with our body. But there's something so powerful when we come together. The Bible teaches that we are the corporate habitation for His presence. That when we come together and we serve Him, that Christ is living inside of us. He comes to abide in us. And so what happens in a life-giving church? Basically, you have the dynamic of Zoe life. The thing I pray for the flock groups every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We've got flock groups going on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I pray for the life of Christ. I pray for the dynamic of Christ. I pray for Christ. I pray for the dynamic life of Christ to be evident in that flock group, that His life will flow, that streams of living water will flow. I pray for that life, Christ's abundant life. I pray for joy, joy in my house of prayer. That life of Christ is joy. God said, and I will give them joy in my house of prayer. That dynamic of Christ's life is that joy that God places. And so whenever we come together on Sunday morning or flock group or what have you, there's that joy. He said, I will give them joy in my house of prayer. That's the dynamic life of Jesus Christ. It's His abundant life. And there's a purpose for it. The purpose of serving God, both in practical areas and in the prophetic life of the body on Sunday morning and in the flock group, as the Lord leads us. There's a purpose for it. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says the purpose, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Raise your hand if you've been brought out of darkness. You've been brought out of darkness in your life. Well, when we come together, the purpose is to praise Him who called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. I love to lose myself in praising God. I love to just lose myself in praising God. To just get beside myself and not worrying about anything around me or anything that's going on in my life, but to just get consumed with Jesus Christ. To praise Him. There's a twofold purpose. That when we come together, that we're serving God practically and we're serving Him through prophetic praise as expressed in Hebrews 13:15. It says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. A priest makes sacrifices. Our sacrifice is no longer our killing a bull or a pigeon or something and all the blood that goes along with that. Okay? In the New Covenant, what are our sacrifices? What are the sacrifices that we make as believer priests? It says, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Vance was just sharing about the Barnabas Fund. The Barnabas Fund is simply the vehicle. We've taken the name Barnabas from Son of Encouragement from the New Testament. It's simply the vehicle that we use at Northgate Community Church to be able to share with others, to share with those that are in need. With such sacrifices, God is pleased. All right, but we can do that all throughout the church. What blesses me as a pastor is when I see people just doing things on their own, just blessing people on their own, seeing a need and helping to fulfill it. All right, even providing work for somebody. Alright, even having somebody come and do work in their home because they want to work and they need to earn some money. Alright, and so you're sensitive to that and you have someone come and do some work in your own home so they can make some money. That blesses me when I hear about these things. Praising God and serving others. That is our purpose. Praising God and serving others. I love the verse in Hosea 14:2. It says, take words with you. And return to the Lord. How do we return to the Lord? We return to the Lord with our words. Say to Him, forgive all our sins, and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Our offering is the fruit of our lips. Offering our words and our all to Jesus. In 1 Peter 2:6, it says, for in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Who is the chosen and precious cornerstone? It's Jesus. Jesus is that chosen and precious cornerstone. And the thing about the cornerstone, everything else in the building was built from that cornerstone. All right, that cornerstone was put down, laid down. It had to be laid down in the right way, in the proper way, the right angle. All right, that cornerstone was put down, and then every other stone was built from that. And that chosen and precious cornerstone is so important, Jesus. And we trust Jesus by building from that chief cornerstone. We trust Jesus, that He's there, and we're going to build from Jesus. Ephesians 2:19 says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. You are a fellow citizen. I don't care what nation you're from. I do care. I care about your nation. But I want to tell you this. You are a fellow citizen. You are welcome. You are a member. You're part of the family. You're part of the team. You're part of the group. You're accepted in the beloved. You're with us. But fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. We are living stones joined together. We're built together to be a house in which God can abide. That is our purpose. It's a spiritual thing. It's more real than these humongous temples that you might see in Europe. All right? But we are being built together to be a holy temple in which God can abide by His Spirit. That's our purpose. So whenever we come together, we need to understand that we are dependent upon God by His Holy Spirit working in and through us. That we come together and we're committed to praise God with all of our hearts, and so that Christ by His Holy Spirit can abide within us corporately. It's where His presence changes us. See, the reason we need His presence is because we're changed by His presence. We're changed in His presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. Look at 1 Peter 2, verse 7. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. You are a chosen people. We are a chosen people. Recently, I went to a certain event, and they picked me to be one of the two captains to pick the teams. We were playing a softball game. And I know as a PE teacher, I really feel conflicted about that, because I don't, like the kids at school, I never allow them to pick teams. Because, you know, you got the thing where, you know, someone's always picked last. And so as I was picking my team, I was careful to pick the guys that, you know, maybe weren't the best. All right? Because I'm sensitive to that. I'm conscious of that. All right? Picking teams. But you need to know that you are chosen. You are chosen by God. And you're not picked last. You're not picked last. You're picked first. You are chosen by God. We are a royal priesthood. We're a royal house and a body of priests. On Wednesday night, we had the leaders together, and there was a comment that was made that, you know, we're all leaders. We're all servants of God. In the kingdom of God, a New Testament understanding, we believe the New Testament. We believe the whole counsel of God's Word. You are a servant of God. You are a believer, a priest. We're a house. We're a place of joy. We're a congregation. We're a corporate gathering of royalty. We're priests, all serving God. We're not spectators. We are servant leaders. We're participants. We're involved in serving the Lord. We're a holy nation. We're set apart for a God-ordained eternal purpose. We're a people belonging to God. We're not our own. We're God's. We hold this lightly. It's His. It's His work. It's His body. It's His church. And so wherever we're serving, we're careful not to get too territorial about it. All right? Or too, you know, this is my thing. Okay? It's God's. It's for His service. We're a people belonging to God. We declare His praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. Ephesians says that we're created for the purpose of praising His glory. Continual service. Remember, when we come together, We praise Him with all of our hearts, and we do not forget to do good and to share with others. Look at verse 10. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Let's be who we are. Let's be that people belonging to God. Let's be that people that have received the mercy and grace of God. Let's all stand. In Matthew 28, verse 16, says, Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. There's a lot of mountain themes in the Bible. Whenever I see a mountain, I like to say, I like to conquer that mountain. I like to go up that mountain. Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I'd like us all to close our eyes. We're called to be disciples. We're called to make disciples of all nations. All nations streaming together to be a kingdom of priests, to praise the Lord, to serve the Lord, to love one another. What a glorious vision this is. This is what we are. It's a glorious, glorious thing. And God calls us not to be ashamed, to not be ashamed of this glorious message, this great message, to put it out there, to share with others freely. Right now, I want to give you the opportunity to become part of this family. To become not a part of a religion or even part of a church, but to become part of a family, a home of joy, a house of prayer for all nations. If you have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, I want to give you the opportunity right now. He has purchased you by His blood. He's saying, yes, the wages of sin is death, but I went to the cross to die for you. I went to the cross to pay the price for you. And your life can be redeemed by my blood. That I can bring you out of darkness into my glorious light. I can bring you out of living life contrary to how I've created you, to living life how I did create you and how you've been made to really walk and live. So I want to give you the opportunity right now to make a decision for Christ, to become a disciple of Christ, and to make His home your home. Let's just reflect before the Lord. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So if you want to make this your opportunity right now to receive Christ as your Savior and Lord, just repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus. Thank you for Jesus dying for my sin and rising from the dead. And right now I come before you and I confess Jesus is Lord. I make Jesus my Lord. I receive you, Lord Jesus, as my Savior and Lord. Come into my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.